Ladies and gentlemen, today we continue the discussion of the very important question, what is the Bible? In previous lessons, we have stressed that the Bible is the book of assurance, the book of simplicity, a book of knowledge, a sacred book, a book of power, and a book of unity, a book of salvation, a book of faith, and an inspired book. The latter verses of 2 Timothy 3 reveal the fact that the Bible is the Word of God. Paul declared, "But abide thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap unto themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables. And that's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, and chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. I submit to you, my friends, the Bible is a profitable book. The Bible is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction, which is in righteousness. These constitute the four things for which the Bible was written. Since the Bible was written for doctrine or teaching, then we must have no other religious doctrine or teaching but the Bible. Any religious doctrine or teaching that contains more than the Bible contains too much. Therefore, it should be rejected. Any religious doctrine or teaching that contains less than the Bible contains too little. For this reason, it should be rejected. And a religious doctrine or teaching that contains something different from the Bible should be rejected because it is different. Something different from the Bible will not meet the demands of what sinful soul of man must have, and that is the relief of sin, remission of sins. Beloved, are you listening? It should ever be our supreme purpose to receive no doctrine or teaching but the Bible, doctrine, and that alone. The Bible only makes Christians only. The Bible contains all the teaching we need to enable one to become a Christian and remain a Christian. The Bible is profitable in regard to reproof. We need reproof from time to time because man is sinful. The Scriptures inform us how this reproof should be administered, the spirit in which it should be carried out. The Scriptures inform us on how it should be received and the profit that should come from it. The Bible is profitable in matters of correction. The Bible will straighten us out when we are deviating from the path of truth and righteousness. The Bible is designed to straighten out crooked people and make them decent people, wholesome people, right-thinking, right-speaking, and right-acting people. Multitudes need to be straightened out today, my friends. Their lives are filled with crooked motives and crooked speech and crooked deeds. The Bible, in the fourth place, is written to instruct us in the way of righteousness, it is affirmed. Righteousness is right doing. It is preceded, of course, by right thoughts and right motives and right attitudes. Humanity is so very prone to error. Many times we fail to know what is right and what is wrong, sometimes because we do not want to know. But we must have a guide. The Bible is that infallible guide in leading us into the sure pathway of righteousness. Truly, the Bible is a profitable book. It is doubtful that any of us realize just how profitable this great book is. We cannot become a Christian without the Bible, We cannot live the Christian life without the Bible. We cannot have any hope of going to heaven without the Bible. As no accurate estimate or total value can be placed upon the soul of man, neither can we place actually the value upon the Bible and its design purpose for mankind. Beloved, the Bible is an all-sufficient book. The Bible is all-sufficient in the realm of teaching. It is all-sufficient in the realm of reproof. It is all-sufficient in the realm of correction. It is all-sufficient in the realm of instruction, which is in righteousness. The Bible has written and has been written from the viewpoint of supplying all that man needs in his spiritual nature. In fact, the Bible is so well written and all-sufficient that the man of God, the Bible says, may be complete. The sacred scriptures will furnish him completely unto every good work, it is affirmed. That is the sweeping affirmation by Paul in the writings to Timothy. The Apostle Peter taught the same basic truth in 2 Peter 1:3 when he said, "Seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue." Paul says the Bible will furnish a man of God so very completely that he will be lacking in nothing, so far as works are concerned and his hereafter is concerned. Peter affirms that God's goodness has granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. These sweeping claims from the pen of these inspired men establish beyond any shadow of doubt the Bible as the authoritative Word of God. My friends, and I say, are you listening to me? This is precisely why no human creed or man-made discipline, no humanly imposed catechism, and no denominationally derived manual of faith has ever been needed in the realm of religion. The very fact that men thought such was needed and sought to satisfy that need by their manufacture has been a gross insult to God's wisdom and foresight. When men add to God's word, this indicates they think God did not understand and know how to place a volume sufficient for man's understanding. When men diminish from God's word, they infer in the strongest sort of way that God placed too much in the good book, and they're having to reduce it to its size to suit them. When men alter or modify God's word, they grossly infer that he did not put in the right things and they're having to do what God failed to do. If not, why not? My friends, the Bible supplies our every need in becoming and remaining a Christian, I say. Did I not believe this firmly and fully, I would not be holding this book in my hand today and telling you about the Christian life. The Bible is all sufficient. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is a book to be preached. That is the full significance of Paul's final charge to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, the apostle wrote, "I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." Paul had already emphasized in this same epistle just how vital it was for the Lord's cause that the Bible should be preached and taught to the sons and daughters of men. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, he wrote, "And the things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." It is by a process of teaching and preaching that the Lord intended to keep alive his cause on this earth. Peter and John recognized the importance of a continuation of the preaching of the gospel, as you read about in Acts 4, verses 17 through 20. Luke records the words both of the enemies who would stop the preaching and teaching of the apostles and the response of the persecuted apostles themselves. It is said, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they call them and charge them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it is right in the sight of God to hearken unto you rather than unto God, judge ye. For ye cannot but speak the things which we saw and heard. A similar statement is found in Acts 5, 28-29. It is said, we strictly charge you not to teach in this name, and behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, we must obey God rather than men. We shudder to think what would have been the result had they obeyed the judicial orders of the unbelieving Jews. Christianity would have died as suddenly as it had begun on the day of Pentecost had they ceased to preach the Bible, the Word of God. What a tremendous loss this would have been to the world. At this time, the first line of the New Testament had not been written. Had they obeyed this order, there would not have been any more teaching concerning the gospel of Christ or the hope of salvation. Again, the importance of preaching is set forth by Paul in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, when he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Even as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. The Word of God states very clearly the necessity of preaching the gospel. Jesus himself said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 15. Paul is still on record as having written that God sent him to preach the gospel, not in wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made void. For the word of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us who are saved is the power of God. For seeing that in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom knew not God, it was God's good pleasure through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Seeing that the Jews ask for signs and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto Jews a stumbling block, unto the Gentiles foolishness, but unto them that have called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 24. My friends, the Bible is a book of sound doctrine. The word sound means healthy, and the word doctrine means teaching. Hence, the Bible is composed of teaching that is wholesome and healthy. The Bible is God's remedy for temptation and sin. The Bible has every known vitamin for the soul of mankind. Without the Bible, the soul of man will be weak and puny, will be lost. With the Bible as a daily diet, the soul can be strong and steady. It can stand solidly and soundly for that which is right. The Apostle Paul frequently spoke of the soundness of his message. In 1 Timothy 6:3, he said, if any man teacheth a different doctrine and consenteth not to sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. And then in 2 Timothy 1:13, he again emphasized the importance of sound teaching when he said, hold the pattern of sound words which thou hast heard from me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. A bishop or an elder in the Lord's church is to hold to the faithful word which is according to the teaching, that he may be able to both to exhort in sound doctrine and to convict the gainsayers, the Bible says. In Titus chapter 2, verses 1, 7, and 8, the apostle declared, but speak thou the things which befit the sound doctrine, and in all things showing thyself an example of good works, in thy doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of us. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? There is no sound doctrine in the religious realm separate and apart from the Bible. Truly, the good book, the Bible, is sound doctrine. To be sound in the faith, we must be true to its teachings, therefore.